Get ready to remove the filter from your timeline. Get ready to break the censorship of social media. Get ready to support the grassroots alternative to establishment propaganda. Get ready for an authentic voice. Get ready to resist cancel culture. Get ready for free speech media. This is FSM.
From the heart of Trucker America, my boy Reed Coverdale, host of The Naturalist Capitalist.
As the left becomes less religious, they become more statist. And as the right becomes more religious, they still become more statist.
Whenever you add government, you by default remove community.
But it actually starts with Bush, right? Like in 2006.
That'd be the most satisfying, like, chair shot. Ka-chunk.
And I have no intention of keeping any promise that I make.
The radical messaging is almost more pragmatic sometimes.
It's bad that the state is as big as it is.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Naturalist Capitalist. We actually are here together in person. I know it doesn't look like it, but we're both here. I'm here with Clint from Liberty Lockdown. How are you doing, Clint?
I am doing well, Reed. We took our bro-ship to the next level by you buying me dinner, and I really appreciate it.
So. Oh, yeah. Anytime, man. Anytime you want to swing into Utah, dinner's on me. So you have left California. It's all over, all done. Woke up to that beautiful view of the ocean for the last time. So what have you been doing since then?
I had a bachelor party in Arizona in Lake Havasu. Spent two straight days on boats. I'm pretty worn out, pretty hungover. Then I drove 700 miles, give or take, today, which is a normal day for you. So I am exhausted, and I don't know how you do it. It definitely gave me a lot more respect for truckers. But I got to check out Zion for the first time today, so that was really neat.
Yeah, so are you a Zionist now, would you say, or?
Don't tell Ryan Dawson, but I'm a pretty big fan of Zion. No, still not a huge fan. No.
So what's the, I know we're both going to Freedom Fest, but what's the plan going forward? What's after Freedom Fest? Are you just driving all over the place, checking things out, or?
Yeah, I'm going to tour basically any state that doesn't have income tax. And if any of them feel right, I want to have a really strong gun culture in that state as well. And then from there, if I don't find anything that fits me, I'm going to look outside the country. So I don't know.
Wow. So
keeping options open.
What country are you thinking of if it doesn't work out here?
I don't know.
So you're going to like travel to countries?
Or? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'll bounce around. I was thinking, for the longest time, I was thinking Puerto Rico because they have an incredible, I mean, even though that's, kind of America.
Right.
They have.
Go hang out with Peter Schiff.
Yeah. They have an incredible tax incentive for expats. So I was thinking about that, but I think that they're probably going to be made the 51st state, in which case that tax treatment for expats will be eliminated. So that kind of killed Puerto Rico for me. I may be roommates with Vin Armani in Saipan one day.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, Cyprian. I'm just kidding.
So I've always been a fan of yours as long as I've known you.
And, oh, it's mutual, bud.
I've always thought you were like pretty reasonable and interesting to listen to. And that seemed to be the consensus for most people. But like the last 3 months, you just can't go a day without pissing like half of the Liberty world off. So like what's going on there, man? What happened?
So I had Josie on, the redheaded libertarian. I honestly at the time didn't think it would be that controversial. I thought that people were upset with her because she blocked a bunch of people. I didn't know about any of her like older posts that made people think that she was a neocon of some stripe. I do disagree with some of her takes, especially on embargoes or
right on Cuba or whatever.
Yeah. I think that we should absolutely lift the embargo on Cuba. So, but I have disagreements with, Dave Smith, I have disagreements with everybody. So
everyone except me, he agrees with me on everything.
Obviously,
you know,
but that's just because you bought me dinner. I mean, I genuinely, I do. I have disagreements with everybody. So I don't understand where we got to this point. I mean, especially from the anti-woke shitposting community to start to critique the guests I'm having on, I think is just bizarre. And then, so after Josie, then came the episode 100 with Matt Erickson and Cyprian, aka Vin Armani, and they were supposed to come on to debate the Mises Caucus. It ended up being a destroyed Dave Smith hour. I didn't really expect that per se, so that controversy was not my intention. I thought that I do think that they're both very interesting guys and very interesting thinkers, so I didn't think it would be so controversial. And then I had Eliza Blue scheduled to come on my show, and then Thaddeus tweeted out some crazy stuff, and then he actually reached out to me, and I ended up putting it together because I thought that that would be the perfect counterweight to such a hot topic.
Right.
And a lot of people really appreciated that episode, but a few people did not. So there you go. Those are my three controversies in the past month, and honest to God, I know people probably think I'm seeking out controversy at this point. That is not my intent, but I'm also not going to run away from it. So I don't really give a fuck what you think. And if you have a problem with it, we can fight.
So what if someone commands you to condemn something, though? Like, if they just tell you you need to condemn it, that's not going to change your mind?
Well, if you say it like a bunch of times, you know, eventually I'll condemn it.
Like, no. 12 is the magic number. 11 times doesn't quite do it. But once you, you know, reach that threshold.
Yeah, it's really important that you tell me to condemn pedophilia as if there's any chance that I endorse it. I don't understand this. I really don't. I don't understand it coming from our people, and I view you guys as my people. So if you feel like because of the guests I've had on over the past month, I've lost any of you, I don't think you were ever with me to begin with, because I don't think that you understood what I'm about or what Reed's about for that matter. I think that we both view this very similarly, and that talking to people with disagreements is actually where a lot of interesting conversation happens, and it's also where progress happens. So I don't intend to stop personally. Yeah. And I hope you don't either.
No plans to stop. And no plans to condemn anything either, in case you guys haven't caught the hint yet. correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of look at our journeys as mirrored images of each other over the last year or so. Like, I was more like, come on, guys, let's all get along.
No, look at me at the same time. Wait. 3, 2, 1. Sorry, it looks like a mirror image. So.
Yeah, I know. See, it illustrates the point perfectly. You know, you were more of, I think you were more isolated and like trying to bring people of similar thought together. And I was more like, hey, guys, let's all get along and we should all be on the same team. And I've actually moved more in the direction that you were. And then you've moved somewhat in the direction that I was. And we've kind of met in the middle here where we're like, okay, like there are some people I realize we're never going to get along with. That's what I've realized. And then maybe you've realized, okay, there's some people that I had shut out that maybe I can still talk to. Is that kind of accurate? Or?
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's so funny because I've told you this. I've said it on a few streams we've been on. I thought that your unity idea at first was terrible because I didn't understand it. And then as I understood it, I started to support you in it, and I started to support it as well. And to be honest, I still support it. I think that people that believe in the most important tenets of what we believe in ought to be unified, and we shouldn't be fighting over petty bullshit. So I stand by that. But because the use of that phrase is so divisive, it is counterproductive. So yes, you brought me over to your side. But then, now that I've been torn down by a bunch of people, as have you a few times, it's starting to really, you know, drive home the fact that like unity with everyone, even some people that are like really close to us ideologically is not possible. So it's kind of a fool's errand. So yeah, I think we're both discovering this simultaneously.
Yeah. To me, it's kind of like, I'm not going to push you away, but this is what I'm going for. If you want to hop on board, you are welcome to hop on board at any time.
Yep.
But if you're not going to hop on board, I'm not jumping off to pull you aboard. Like, I mean, you have to want it yourself.
Yeah. It's like, and from my perspective, this is a really dangerous time, and there's really dire consequences if we fail in this mission, so to speak. So I'm not going to slow down. And if I lose anybody because I am going at a pace that you're uncomfortable with, or if I'm talking to people you don't like or anything like that, I don't really care. I don't have time to wait. I need to see progress in this country for it to be salvageable, if it is salvageable. So it's like, I'm just going to keep going full steam ahead, man.
Yeah. I'm just going to do this like every 5 minutes to remind you guys that we actually are in the same room together, because it really doesn't look like we are on the screen.
That's crazy. Well, the conversation's a lot better because we don't have the latency of the connection.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, especially with how many technical difficulties I'm always having with my internet and everything. So this time we both sync if it doesn't hold up. It's not just going to be a guy on the other end like, Reed, are you still there? Where'd you go? So yeah, we're going to Freedom Fest in a couple days here. What are you hoping to see there? Is this like your first big, like, non-libertarian party liberty event, or have you been to other things before, or what are you?
Yeah, actually, I went to Freedom Fest in like 2005 when it was in San Diego.
Whoa.
Long, long time ago, when you were like four.
I was 11, so I'm just kidding. A little older.
But I actually met and got to talk to in person Stefan Molyneux. So I am officially canceled. How fun is that?
Yeah.
So yeah, he was like one of the big speakers there, and it was really cool. But I was, I wasn't even politically engaged at all really at the time.
Yeah.
I just thought that he did really good YouTube videos about, anarchy or libertarianism at the time. So that's probably the only big, this type of thing I've been to. I've been to a few Mises Caucus events. I've had a Mises Caucus event at my house, but yeah, this is going to be pretty unique for me. So same for you.
Yeah. I mean, I went to Pork Fest. That was the first thing, and it was fucking weird. I'm sure you're going to see this too.
I can't wait, honestly. It's
like, I was a celebrity at Pork Fest. I went there with my dad, and I remember saying, Dad, there's probably going to be a few people who know who I am. There were like over 200 people who they either wanted an autograph or a picture or just to talk to me. And I want to say just, my demographics are pretty bad. I'm like 99.8% male followers. And this 50-year-old woman came up to me and said, like, I'm watching every episode you put out and it's changed my life. And
oh, that's so
like,
nice.
That was crazy. I mean, just for like a 50-year-old woman to tell me that was really cool.
That's incredible. Because
I'm mostly like 18 to 35-year-old guys. Dude, so, that was pretty cool. But you are definitely going to be a celebrity. You're going to have tons of people coming up and, wanting to, I don't know, get an autograph or something. So
hey, as long as you're a guy, I'm down to sleep with you. I want the ladies to really avoid flirtation. I don't need any Me Too incidents. But the men, obviously, you can stay in my hotel. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That's creepy.
I've obviously got first dibs on that because
he bought me dinner. Tonight. Yeah. No, it's going to be weird. I mean, I had my first celebrity thing at the Mises Caucus event. Actually, at the Tom Woods event. Like 3-4 months ago in Orange County area, I had three or four people come up to me and they go, Clint? And I was like, you? But at the time I still didn't think of my show as having any reach. So, I learned that it had some reach and that Tom Woods fans were checking me out. So that was really neat. And then the first time I had someone ask for a photograph with me was at the Mises Caucus event when, Hooked Up Jesus and Thaddeus Russell were speaking. So that was a trip. And since then, I think I've become far more notorious over the past couple months. So it's going to get wild, but I can't wait to meet everybody. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. People are a lot cooler in person than they are on Twitter. I found that.
Well, you
out.
Better I be, because I'll fight you motherfuckers if you come at me like you do on Twitter.
Holy shit. I actually had a few people, apologize to me. They were like, hey man, like, I know I'm an ass on Twitter. And I was like, I don't know who you are, so I don't really care. And actually one person came up and gave me a hug and she was like, I've been really, I've been a huge jerk to you. You used to follow me and you stopped following me. And I was like, okay, what's your name? And she told me what her name was and refollowed her. Cause believe it or not, like, I mean, when there are over 10,000 of you following me, like if you make an insult toward me, I'm not going to remember who you are. So like, I mean, I don't take it personally. And,
unless it's a really bad insult.
Yeah. Unless it's really bad.
Which I've got a lot of those over the past couple of weeks, and I remember y'all names. So, no, I'm just fucking around. I try not to take the the bullshit online too personally, but when it gets to be a wave, like when you have a really controversial episode and you're just getting bombarded with like dozens of, you know, hate messages, it can be, you know, it's draining. Like I honestly always laughed at people that complained about online interaction, and I still think it's a joke, because I mean, obviously it's not like really affecting my life, but it's just like, what are you doing? so I had a guest on, you don't like, so like I get 15 people telling me that I'm a cuck or whatever. Like, come on, man. It's I don't know. I hope that when people meet me in person, they'll realize that I'm actually very passionate about what I'm doing, and that there's no like performative nature. You just had dinner with me, you know, like this is who I am. So I hope that you guys say hi and we can hash out our beef if we have any.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to ever meet any of these people, but I have gotten probably over 100, not death threats, but death wishes. Over the last 2 days.
Well, I know why though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting the vaccine. So, you know, like it went from, if we can only save one life, to, you know, I hope you fucking die if you don't get this. But as many of you watching probably know, I ended up making a bunch of tweets because of how reactionary everyone was. But I originally just made a tweet saying, I'm not getting the vaccine, mostly because of the bullshit propaganda and social pressure to do so. Obviously, that's not the only reason I'm not getting it. If this was a disease I had a 50% chance of dying from, and the vaccine was definitely going to save my life and prevent me from spreading it, then obviously I'd get it regardless. I mean, and then the social pressure would still be on. But in my age and health bracket and everything, I mean, I have less than 0.25% of a chance of dying, and the vaccine doesn't stop the spread of COVID. So there's no reason for me to get it. Everyone who wants the vaccine can get it themselves. But anyway, I made that tweet and it blew up all over the place. And every 15 minutes or so, I was getting someone saying, well, just put a tattoo on your head that says, don't treat me. Or like, well, I hope that when you were gasping for your last breaths, you felt it was worth it. Or like all these really, really shitty tweets. But I was wondering, how many death wishes have you received? A lot? Or is it not the territory? Have you not like waded into that yet?
I think because prior to the Thaddeus Russell Eliza Blue episode, people seemed to like me decently. Obviously you're talking about people that aren't even in our sphere.
Yeah, these are liberals.
Yeah, these are the people that are wishing you death threats. I've gotten a few of those, but that's just comes with the territory of like shitposting and telling people things they don't like to hear. But when I got
that's angry, a reasonable response. They hear something they don't want to hear, so they want you to die. You know?
Well, that's classic leftism. So yeah, but the fact that I'm getting that kind of pushback from our folks is where I got like perplexed. And I made this point at dinner that I really think that, like, even though we all agree pedophilia is bad, see, I'm condemning it. You don't have to tell me to. I really think that is the topic that makes us seem like SJWs, in the sense that words become violence. And to me, violence and rape or whatever is only violence and rape if it's violence and rape, but it is not words. If you talk about it, it's not, it doesn't cross into that threshold. And I thought we all agreed that words weren't violence. So I'm just waiting for some people to be a little bit more consistent on this topic, because I don't understand it. I don't understand that perspective.
By the way, guys, I will get to the super chats. We'll just do them all at the end so that we're not kind of skipping through them, but keep throwing them in. I will get to them.
Appreciate the support.
Absolutely. So your show has been going what now, like 15 months, 14 months, something like that?
I think it's 14.
14. Yeah. So what was the defining moment so far? Like what was it, ending up on Part of the Problem or ending up on Tim Pool? Like what was the most,
you know,
like exciting, like, yes, this is why I'm doing this. This is really taking off.
Yeah. Well, two different answers there. For me, I idolized Dave. I mean, he was the one that showed me that you could actually talk about our beliefs and find an audience. The first time I heard him on Joe Rogan, it basically changed my life. I was like, this is a guy. I mean, it was basically like hearing me on the biggest podcast in the world at the time. So when I realized
that's coming soon in real life, guys, he's going to be on there soon.
Let's hope. Yeah. Let's hope for either of us.
Both of us. Yeah.
Hey, there we go. It goes a tag team. So that to me was definitely like, okay, this is big. When he came on my show, because he came on my show before I was on Part of the Problem.
Right.
And even that was just like surreal, I think is the best way to describe it. I like couldn't believe it. And then the Tim Pool appearance was genuine, like genuinely surreal. Like even looking back on it, like now that I've talked to Dave and I've got to know him, we're kind of like friends. I don't feel so weird about it. But right. The Tim Pool experience, I flew, you know, 6,000 miles in a 36-hour period. I was in this giant house with a skate park down below and, you know, a dozen bedrooms. And it's like, that still doesn't feel real. Like, I can't even believe that happened. Yeah. So that's the trip.
And it was also so organic. I mean, I remember texting you, asking you, so how did this happen? And you were just like, oh, well, I just said something on Twitter. And then it kind of went from there. It's just pretty amazing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I think that I got some endorsements from other people that have been on there. And I don't know if it was Dave or Josie or who, but props to and thank you to any of them that did. No one has made it explicit that they helped, you know, basically endorse me. But yeah, the interest in me, I think, was genuinely organic because Tim Pool was asking about BlackRock and he was making some assessments that I actually disagree with. And I said, hey, if you'd like someone with expertise in this area to come on and explain it to your audience, I'm your guy. And then God bless my Twitterati that hopped in that thread and really pushed it and said, yes, you need to have him. You need to have him. And then literally 72 hours later, I was in Virginia talking to Tim Pool. It was fucking crazy.
Isn't that the best feeling when your followers do that for you?
Yes.
That just happened. I'm going to be on a Bridget Fetissi's show on Tuesday.
Just to let people know that we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so stoked for you, man. It's going to be incredible.
And it was the same thing. Like this, actually, I didn't even comment. She put out a post like, I want to talk to a truck driver who listens to podcasts and like 100 people tagged me in it. And like
that's so rad.
Some other truckers got tagged too, but only like 5 or 6 times. Like me, it was like 100. And that's how I found out about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I would love to.
Right.
And then she messaged me and she said, you have a very loyal following. And that really felt really good. So thank that's you amazing. Guys. And I mean, it really is like the coolest thing when your followers come out like, yes, get this guy on. I mean, it's so cool.
And I just want to reiterate, y'all are like changing our lives by doing that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I know you feel a sense of gratification by seeing someone that you are familiar with on these bigger platforms. So it's a mutual thing, but I'll never forget it. I'm sure Reed won't either. The fact that you guys, you know, pushed to get me full first on Part of the Problem, but then on Tim Pool, it's just like, it's crazy. I mean, millions of people listen to me talk on Timcast. Like that, I don't know if I'll ever get okay with that sensation. Like it's just such a wild thing, dude. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's great. And I think it's obvious to people that we're not grifters. Like we're not here to just ride the wave because, I mean, especially
my passion is a motherfucker. If you can't tell folks,
I mean, the fact that you're willing to have people on your show that are going to piss off your followers, that's a pretty good sign that you're actually here for flushing out those ideas and talking about controversial topics and trying to, you know, get us out of this mess because I mean, the people who are fake are pretty obvious and easy to spot, you know, because they're just saying whatever's popular, whatever's going to get them somewhere, instead of kind of having that, you know, a consistent message throughout the entirety of their duration, you know, that they've been popular or been having a platform or having a show or whatever. Like you can tell when they're just riding with whatever is the most popular thing.
Yeah. Definitely did not help me having Thaddeus Russell on my show. So if you think I'm grifting because, oh yeah, that got a lot of views for that episode. Yeah, but it didn't help my reputation. So I did that knowingly. I knew that it would damage me. And I knew that I would have people that would drag me through the mud for months, if not years, because that's how some of you sick motherfuckers do things. But the truth is, I'm not a pedophile. And I think that there are a lot of victims on both sides of this dispute. And obviously I do not mean the actual victimizers. I mean, some people that are on sexual offender registries for the rest of their lives over really ticky tacky shit. And I think every libertarian agrees that that's wrong. And yet if I want to talk about it, I can be accused of running defense for pedophiles and it's just nonsense. So the fact that it's nonsense obligates me to stand up regardless of what it does to my reputation. And I stand by what I did. I stand by what I said on that episode. And I think that it was the right thing to do. So if you still have a problem with me having had him on, I continue to say, go fuck yourself. But thanks for watching.
Yeah, just two notes on that. For lots of blue collar workers out there who might, you know, take a piss between the dualies on the dump truck or between the tills on the line truck or something, if you get caught doing that, you're a sexual offender.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to put into context some of the dumb things that you can get in trouble for. And this guy also has the Ryan Dawson endorsement. So, you know, if he's a pedophile, then he's really
I'm in trouble.
Fast one over. Yeah, he
I'm in trouble because he's the first to rev up that the chipper.
Yeah, for sure. So what I've found interesting recently is that it's not necessarily just the blue-pilled cucks who have their trigger issues. You know, like it kind of exists everywhere. Everyone has their issue that just you know, puts them into nothing but an emotional phase. There's no logic left anymore, and there's nothing you can do to talk to them about it.
Right.
That to me is a sign of extreme weakness. Like if you think that you appear tough, if you're screaming at someone for having a person on their show or something that you disagree with them on, or even if they come at you with an attack, if you go back at them like with 10 times the strength, unless you're being funny or you're really proving a point, it actually makes you look kind of lame, in my opinion. And I learned this kind of early on in the workforce. If you had a boss who was always freaking out about everything, it just sort of lost its potency. I mean, you were just like, okay, my boss is going to yell at me at the end of the day. Oh, well. Whereas if you had a boss who's kind of nice to you, kind of chill, when he freaks out at you, really gets your attention because you're like, oh, damn, I must have really fucked something up to piss this guy off.
Targeted rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
it has to be used with moderation or else it loses its impact, of course.
Yeah, it's just like fiat currency. If it's endless, then, you know, it's kind of valueless.
So. Yeah, buy Bitcoin.
Yeah. but, I mean, we've seen that from all corners of the liberty movement. Like, everybody can get mad about something. And I just want...
Yeah, you step on the third rail of religion all the time.
Oh, yeah, so I do.
I don't actually fuck with that one because I am more... I don't know. I don't have a hard feeling in that area. But I love that you do it personally. So,
yeah, I mean, and I really don't think I'm an angry atheist. I know some people might
think you are either.
From what I post on Twitter, but, you know, Twitter's Twitter. if you want to watch videos where I talk to people about it and actually learn something about my past, you know, I welcome you guys to do that. But I think it's good to have conversations about touchy subjects that people get emotional over because, you know, if we can't put aside our emotions for our most important issues or our sacred cows that we can't touch, then we don't actually know why we believe those things. If you can't explain why you think pedophilia is bad, I don't think that's good. Like, I think you should be able to explain why you think it is bad. I think you should be able to explain why you believe the Holocaust happened. That's another thing. Like, instead of just getting outraged about somebody denying that it happened, just prove them wrong through historical facts.
Right.
You know,
or just keep scrolling.
Yeah. Or move beyond it. Exactly. Yeah. It just boggles my mind that people are not willing to talk about these things, but want to consider themselves intellectuals. Like, if you don't want to pretend that you're a thoughtful person, okay. But if you're going to say you're an extremely thoughtful person and then one of these things comes up and you just respond with outrage, then I mean, that just, I lose a lot of respect for you.
Yeah. I mean, I can't do anything else but agree, obviously. I mean, I especially with my experience over the past month with a lot of people saying I shouldn't be platforming or giving a voice to these people, all of which are bigger people than me, by the way. So it's bizarre in that regard, just that I'm platforming or I'm amplifying the voice of Thaddeus Russell, who's been on Joe Rogan, for God's sake. It's like, it's just madness. But yeah, I actually believe in free speech, and I actually believe in open debate and dialogue. And I think it's a vitally important thing for a society, if you believe in a society, that we actually converse with each other and that there are no sacred, you know, golden calves or anything, like stuff that we can't talk about. Should I better not reference religion in this context or I'll get in trouble. Just kidding. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. You're on my show already. You're already guilty by association.
Exactly. So yeah, that's really my stance, is that a lot of the problems that exist in our country right now and in the world for that matter, are a product of big tech, for instance, YouTube, censoring us. They censor us all the time. And what has it done? It has divided us as a people. It has made it so that we live in two separate realities, because half of the country believes one set of nonsense and the other half believes another set of nonsense. And then the 1% of libertarians are the only ones that actually understand which parts each half is right about and which half they're wrong about. And it's like, that's not conducive to a society that doesn't foment a civil war. So as someone who is genuinely peaceful and genuinely doesn't want to see a war, I feel like we either take a stand and we have conversations with people that are our ideological opponents, or we just expect there to be blood. And I don't want that. I don't think any libertarians really want that. So I don't understand this disposition. And I hope that people, after listening to us, will understand more why I'm doing it. And I hope you can agree with at least my perspective, whether or not you agreed with the guests I had on. I didn't agree with them either, if you didn't catch that. So that's all.
Yeah. I mean, I think having people on that we disagree with is important for us to either reaffirm our own beliefs or to realize that some of them might not be true. Like, if a leftist can convince me that something they believe is true, that if it's actually true, that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, if I'm wrong, I want to know. I don't want to just, you know, build the walls up in my echo chamber and tell myself I'm right and find this group of people that agrees with me. I'm actually trying to figure out what's true here. And if you're not willing to talk with people who disagree with you, I think that mostly points to an intellectual weakness that you have, because you're afraid that the person you're going to talk to might actually say something that makes sense. It might make you have to think about something.
that's so pathetic. And I think you're absolutely right, actually, that is people's concern or their fear. Yeah. I don't fear that. I look forward to it. I like to have someone approach me with information that I haven't considered so I can actually become better. You know, right. That's how I've gotten to where I'm at now, I think, is that I genuinely appreciate someone who can bring information into my bubble and kind of disrupt it and allow me to think about something differently. Perfect example. Conservatives have done a really good job at bringing me back from being a pretty pro-choice person when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm still not a pro-lifer either, because I don't believe that the state should be involved. And I think that it's too gray out of an area. And I know a lot of people get upset about that. And again, don't care. but the point being that, you know, when I was younger, I thought like, oh, it's nonsense. You know, it's just, you know, the clump of cells argument and all that shit. And now I totally disagree with that. I think it's pretty clearly murder. I just think that it's not clear enough that the state should be imprisoning people over it. So, that's a great example of that. And then the left, I mean, I was never pro-war, but I think that when you talk to people on the left, especially good lefties that are doing reporting on the ground and stuff in Syria or whatnot, those are really important people to talk to. So I'm going to have on people on my show, as you will, as I'm sure too, to get that kind of information. Abby Martin.
The other one is Tulsi Gabbard. And a lot of people have been messaging me to call her out on everything she's horrible on. And like, why? Why would I have someone on my show and then just tell them how much they suck? Like, what does that accomplish?
I mean, you know? I can understand if there's one area of difference that you're genuinely interested in,
right,
in their worldview, sure, bringing that up. But just having someone come on and just blast them for an hour, it's like, okay, well, that's a level of like shock jockery that I don't think actually advances what we're trying to accomplish either. But at the same time, like, I do think that it's good to have some conflict. So
yeah,
I think you'll handle it well. I have no doubt.
Yeah, Ritzen, no, I mean, I'm looking.
He's got it.
I'm looking forward.
I can't believe we're here. This is crazy.
We are here, guys. Like, we're not, for everyone who just jumped on, we're not in a different spot. But yeah, I mean, with Tulsi, like, I think she's great on a lot of things, and I just think she sucks on some things.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk about a little bit of both. But these people who like say if I had Nick Fuentes on, which I would do, by the way.
I've invited him four times. With that, vegetarians, you fucking losers.
I'd also have Billy Crystal or AOC or anyone who would be willing to talk to me, just because anyone where I think there could be an interesting conversation, basically. Right. Since we're together, Archie, if you ever end up watching this because you like me for some reason, go on this guy's show because he will have you on.
I've been trying for how many months, Arch Doug? Let me just say it one more time, buddy. I would love to talk to you. I don't know why you gave Nick Ashley the fucking nod. Give me the nod, bud. Let's go. Vegetarians. Shout out Vegetarians, you 200 subscriber ass losers. Let me on your show.
There you go, guys. Come on. I mean,
could you get a better invite or a better request than that?
Yeah. I mean, to me, you guys are just not an interesting conversation, but to Clint, you are. So fucking do it. You're passing up an opportunity of a lifetime right here.
So interesting.
I mean, this guy is platforming people. So he'll platform you. This guy's the zeitgeist of America. He's the one who changes everybody's mind. So, he's inviting you on. Come on. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't.
Yeah. Some episodes get over 10,000 listens. So if you're going to change all of the red pill libertarians into your type, this is your best bet.
Yeah. And Nick just boosted your popularity by 200%. So
I'd say by 12,000%. Shout out Nick, by the way. So, very proud of you.
Very good. Very good job, Nick. So yeah, I mean, if you guys are looking for your moment in the sun, it's right now.
Let's go. I'm dead serious. I have been salivating for the opportunity to talk to any of those guys. I'll take the one with the fucking cat ears, whatever her name is. I don't give a shit, man. I'll talk to any of you guys. Seriously.
There you go. I don't think it gets much more obvious than that, guys.
And I won't make any black jokes like I did because you guys got all pissed about that. But I'll still think them.
but the point I was getting at originally there was Nick Fuentes or Jimmy Dore were to come on my show, with either one of those guys, I would want to establish some sort of common ground. And I would hope that some of their followers would see the video and be like, oh, wow, I want to hear more about what Reed has to say.
Yeah.
I mean, because right now, if you watch, if Dave Smith goes on someone's show and all they do is tear him apart and tell him what a horrible, selfish, evil person he is, I don't really have much of an interest in, listening to what that person has to say. Now, if they, establish some sort of common ground with him and were obviously smart, intelligent people, and then they had a disagreement that they civilly talked about, maybe they'd make me think about that disagreement. They made a good point about whatever it is, healthcare, minimum wage, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I would want to go listen to them and hear more on that subject. So a lot of libertarians have got to be this way with other people. As Clint said, it's not like you agree with everything they say when they come on and tell them they're the greatest thing that's ever existed, but you don't want to just have them on to lambast them, because that's not going to accomplish anything.
Yeah. And if you care about converting people, which, let's be honest, we do, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be online talking about it constantly. You have to kind of meet people where they're at, and you have to explain to them that there is, this actually goes back to woke culture, where there is no opportunity for salvation. Once you're a racist, you can't be redeemed. If you're just born a straight white man, you can't be redeemed. This is a very similar concept in that you have to give people a path to redemption. You have to allow them to see that maybe there is a different way of looking at it, and it doesn't make them evil. It just makes them wrong on a topic. And we've all been wrong on topics, unless we're, Dave Smith. I'm just kidding. I think that's my outlook, is that I would rather have at least a somewhat cordial conversation. If it devolves into, a shit fest, that happens sometimes, but that's never my intention going in. And I think that you're right. That's the way to actually get people to see our perspective. And a perfect example is with the media today. No one's being converted by watching the news, because it's just partisan in nature. And the whole time is just about indoctrinating and speaking to their choir and shitting on the other congregation.
See, I don't know. When I watch Rachel Maddow, she really makes me think a lot, because she makes a lot of nuanced points,
she makes me think about what size strap-on she wears, but that's about it.
Rachel Mad Cow Disease. Oh man.
Sorry, because we're like in person, I feel like I'm being more tower power hour about it.
Yeah, more,
I can't take it as seriously.
Boy, we gotta get like a we gotta get the whole tower gang together. So that would be amazing. That'd be fire. So you're the second member of Tower Gang that I've met in person because Toad.
Oh, you met Toad?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Porkfest. Porkfest. By the way, I'm only 6 feet tall. I'm not like 7 foot two, like a lot of you guys might think from all the pictures. Like we got some
short motherfuckers.
Yeah, like fuck. I mean,
we're basically the same size. Just
yeah.
Which I assumed he was like my size because I just assume all men are my size. Toad, you got to get together, buddy. I don't know what's going on. Get some HGH. Get your bones stretched. Do what you got to do. Just kidding. I love Toad. I know who.
Yeah, Toad's the best.
I've never even met Toad. I don't even know if he's that short, but he probably is.
Yeah, he's pretty short, but he's great. He makes up for his lack of height in charm or something. That's the
girth.
That's the
word of, yeah.
So did you like ever consciously make a decision to be like, okay, I'm going to be fine with all the edgelord shit and I'm just going to go for it regardless of what it does to my online image? Because I wasn't like part of Tower Gang until a few months ago. And, you know, I've always had a fucked up sense of humor. There's nothing new about that. And I've always sworn and had, you know, crass jokes like on my channel.
Yeah.
But I've definitely gone like a lot harder in the paint on Twitter because I've just decided, you know what, this is who I am and I don't need to pretend to be somebody else on there. So
I love it.
I'm not ashamed of anything I say. And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, but Twitter's not a job site. And I'm like, well, no, it sort of is. Like Twitter's where you go if you want to argue with people. It's really not the public square, like people say it is. Like Twitter is where you specifically go if you want to see crazy, stupid takes and argue with people who don't care what you have to say. Like that's what Twitter is. So yeah,
largely, I mean, it's also a community and there's some good conversations that happen, but those are the minority.
Yeah,
for sure.
So did you ever like, was there a moment you remember where you're like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm just going to go like say these bad jokes and I don't really care. Is it kind of like always been the case?
For any of the OG followers out there will remember me as a morbidly obese woman in an American flag bikini.
That's right. I'm one of those guys that followed him back then.
He was. So I was doing that from Jump Street because I was anonymous. So that didn't, but I think the weird thing is that I didn't change that tact once I became more public about who I was. And
by the way, he's got his full name on Twitter now. Like it took him a while to
Clint Russell come out with Recoverdale live in the building. So I wanted to
live same place.
Yeah. So I really I cared about in particular because I'm so concerned with the trajectory of discourse and people's fears, and I understand that they're genuine. So I always have to, you know, preface this with saying I get it. You could lose your job. It could be a really bad thing. Hell, you could end up in Gitmo if you say something too crazy. So,
by the way, shout out to my boss. You're awesome.
No kidding.
You're subscribed to me. That's great. Thank you.
That's amazing.
I mean, the more controversial shit I say, the more likely I am to get a raise. So my boss is fucking awesome. But
well, I may need a job from him soon. So, yeah, I think basically the inspiration was I wanted to practice what I was preaching. And on my show, I was telling people, even though I hadn't come out with my last name, that you should be courageous and that you should be telling people your beliefs, especially if you want to not become, you know, a social pariah. It's important that people understand that there are people like us out there.
Right.
And then to give people the strength to also vocalize that so that there can become a community of us. Like if you're going to like go underground, how do you ever expect to have a meaningful amount of people to defend yourself with? Like it's vitally important that we have some level of courage and size to prevent people from being able to basically treat us like we're, you know, a non-important minority in society. And that's how people view us right now. So that's the main reason that I just go as hard as I fucking want. And also because I'm financially free, I'm like, I don't give a shit. You can't fire me. So
yeah,
I'm going to go hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think as far as the crass jokes go, most people really don't care.
No.
Like they really don't.
And the people that are upset also don't care. No. That's the funny thing.
Yeah. They're projecting, like they're proving to their peers that they care or something when they really don't. I mean, if you've ever worked a real job with someone who's not the same, not the same orientation or not the same color or whatever as you, like, they don't fucking care. They really don't. Like, they don't care about all these microaggressions and.
Well, if they're working a job, because there are some people that don't have jobs that do genuinely care.
Yes, yes,
and
that's
true.
And they're
horrified if white people say anything off color. But those are people without jobs, so you can't work with them. It's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think when they see us making jokes or being retards to a certain extent. Like,
oh, my God, they said the R word. Can you believe this? Cancel this guy.
They resonate with us. You know, they're like, okay, yeah, like, these are my people. Like, he's not afraid to say retard, even if he's going to get in trouble for it or, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You know what? Because we're speaking how you speak. We are. And if we're not speaking how you speak, we're speaking how you think. And that's okay too, because I would rather us be honest about who and what we are and how we talk and how we feel and how we joke, because this is how guys joke. We talk shit about each other and we tear each other down, and it brings us closer together. And that's how I've always been with all of my guy friends throughout my life. And I'm not going to stop, because I think that that's actually how you bond as men usually. So
by the way, that's when you tear each other down. To, you know, like, face to face, not behind each other's backs.
Correct.
That's bitch shit. Like,
yes, correct. Thank you for clarifying. I completely agree. Like, you have to say it to the guy or else it's just whack.
All right, let's get to some super chats here. Let's see. Coming from Top Lobster, it still looks like you're in separate rooms. We're not.
We're here, dude, I swear.
We're here. It's real. It's happening.
Shout out Top Lobster. Go to toplobster.com. Get some sick shirts.
Can't make it to Freedom Fest, but while you're in South Dakota, get to the Alpine Inn and drink the ranch, then ask Gnome about her wacky weed buffoonery. Yeah, I think she's going to be at Freedom Fest, right?
Get to the Alpine Inn and drink the ranch. What is this, drink the ranch?
I don't know. That must be South Dakota talk. I'm not really sure what that means.
Is that a sexual innuendo? Jim Mongol. All right, I'll do it, I guess. Gnome is supposed to be there. My mom wants me to ask her how she gets her arms in such good shape.
Mm.
So that won't be awkward, Mom. Thanks for that. Thanks for that tip.
Oh, by the way, who that is going to be there do you want to get on your channel? For me, there's two people. Dave Rubin would be pretty amazing. And the other one is Ion Hersey Ali. I don't know if you know who she is.
I do, but yeah.
Those two would be really cool. What about you? Do you have any... in your sights?
I mean, honestly, I think that Dr. Drew would be really interesting because I think he's a libertarian, even though he doesn't really fully come out with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to find out why he's not a libertarian. So I think that would be an interesting conversation. And then those other two that you mentioned, I think would be great too. So
yeah.
Right, and then Dave, obviously.
Well, Dave, yeah. But he's...
Dude, are we going to do like a fucking live Four Horsemen?
We should.
Mm-hmm.
Fly Ryan out there.
Yeah.
I have crypto assets and savings, and I am retiring.
Renting.
I am looking for a house because I want to land. I want to own land. Clint, not financial advice.
Thank you for the
which prep. Do you think will be more valuable in the coming months?
I have crypto assets and savings that I am renting. I am looking for a house because I want to own land.
Sorry, we're like the perfect distance away that you can't see. Like, you got to lean in a little bit
to
get it. So sorry about that, guys.
I personally am not a fan of land, especially in a bubble market. When prices are low, that's when you buy land, because you're supposed to convert it into a higher end user, sale price. So you want to buy land when no one wants to buy land. You don't want to buy land when it's very hard to come by at a reasonable price. By the time you get that land and you either subdivide it, or even if you just try and build out a single property on it, the market very well could have corrected. So I would not recommend that. If you're in a red state that has really cheap land still, okay, do whatever you want to do. But if you're thinking about buying land that'll cost you $300,000-$500,000, I would give serious consideration to waiting. I also think crypto will decline at some point if there is a deflationary bust like I'm predicting, but I would not say that I'm a bigger fan of crypto than I am land at this point. So I hope that answers your question.
And there you go. Not financial advice, just for those.
But it wasn't financial advice, so I don't even know what you asked.
Do you all think that preventing your own kids until they are 16 from social media would prevent some teen suicide driven.
No, given y'all experience with online harassment. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, see, like we had a rough house.
Two people with no kids.
Let's, yeah, let's see what I mean, in my house, we abused the shit out of each other verbally. And my parents didn't condone it, but we just did. And I don't know, that prepared me for life personally. But I mean, it's a little different if you're solo on the internet, if you're a 14-year-old girl or something. Like, I don't know, this is a different deal. So, but I would do the best you can to prepare someone for life so that it's not culture shock when they get out there. But you're going to have to figure that out on your own.
See, he just changed my mind, because I was going to say I would probably keep my kids offline. So, yeah, but that point you made was a great one. See, look at this.
Yeah,
you actually listen to someone and then you might change their mind.
Even someone evil like me.
You know? Yes. Who brought up a 14-year-old, this guy. no, seriously, I do think that there's a lot of danger with social media for young children. I do believe that our brains are not structured for this. I think the level of inundation of comments and communication and likes and all this shit and how it plays with our brain chemistry, I think it's not really healthy. But at the same time, as he said, you do have to learn to live with it, or, you know, go join an Amish convent or whatever. So,
yeah, I mean, you gotta get to the point where you don't care about it.
I think that's the key.
If I cared about all the death wishes I just got over the last couple of days, like I really don't. Like, I think they're funny. I mean,
he says that now, but he was crying at dinner.
It's true. Like, I was like, Clint, please. He's like, Reed, finish your steak. You know, like,
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I feel the exact same way. Yeah.
I mean, I was retweeting everyone's insults to me, right, because I thought they were hilarious. So, I mean, that's where you want to get people to. Like, speaking of your past, what's the origin of your name?
Well, my parents gave it to me, and I would imagine his did as well. What do you think he means by that?
I think he's talking about our shows. But
well, mine's pretty obvious.
But do you know what your name actually means?
I do not.
Okay.
Oh, actually, Clint means good old Southern boy in like baby books.
No. So. Well, my first name, I'm going to drop a huge thing here. My first name is actually Scott. I go by my middle name, which is Reed. But Scott means wanderer, which, you know, it's kind of fitting. Reed means red. So I'm the red wanderer, you know, whatever that means.
Sounds like,
you're
related to Ryan Dawson.
Yeah, I know.
The red wanderer.
That's an insensitive racist Indian joke right there. But,
oops.
Let's see. So my show, you know, I've wanted to do a show for a while, and I didn't really want to do one about politics. I actually wanted it to be more about philosophy and about being a minimalist, which I know you guys can't see my room, but Clint can attest to the fact that I am.
This motherfucker's a minimalist.
I don't need much. And I want to talk about travel, all sorts of stuff. But since it ended up being more of a political show, I was trying to tie philosophy into politics. So I thought of a few different names, but naturalist and capitalist sort of rhymed, and it kind of fits how I view the world. You know, I mean, I think there could be supernatural forces, but I think when we're dealing with logic, we kind of have to just deal with naturalism and how things work. And that's kind of how capitalism is too. Like, capitalism sort of is naturalism. It's how economics naturally work without intervention, trying to screw everything up, you know? So the whole idea of the name is basically laissez-faire in the complete sense, in like every way, like in economics and people, like just leave everything alone. Don't interfere and it'll work better.
I dig it. And he also doesn't wear deodorant, which is where the naturalist comes from. I'm just kidding. He smells great. My show is fairly obvious, so I won't spend much time on it, but I had a mortgage business, that basically I had to shut down because I couldn't continue to invest my lender's capital in this environment after the lockdowns and Liberty lockdown. It's alliteration. I was just like, well, that sounds nice. And then I was lucky enough to have killers like Todd Lobson and a bunch of people come in with dope art. So the name stuck. I don't think I'll be changing it, even though the lockdowns are lifting, because I believe our liberty will be locked down until we prevail. And if we prevail, I can just shut my fucking show off. So that'd be great.
So When did the theme song come out? Like, what episode number was that roughly?
I think like episode 15, 20, somewhere in there.
Okay. And did you make that art, or was that
no
a little behind you? That was Tom Lobster too, or
no? That one was from, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. But he sent me that early on, and I just, the vibe was so perfect because it had the graffiti. I was like, yo, that's,
yeah,
Wigger Clint likes that. So I stuck with it.
Yeah, by the way, shout out to, he's, I think, The Based Gold on Twitter. He made my logo.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't pay him anything. I wasn't even following him. He'd been following me for like 3 months, and he sent me a message. And you know how if you're not following someone, you can't, it's just like, yeah, shows up as a message request. I saw his message request like 2 or 3 days after he had sent it, and I couldn't see the media. I had to follow him to see the media. And then he was just like, hey man, I'm a huge fan. I do graphic design occasionally, and I just put this together for you. If you want to use it, go for it. And I was just like, what? So I messaged him, and I was like, dude, let me pay you for this. He's like, nope, no, I just appreciate everything you do. And so I did a short episode just saying, you know, hey, Based Gold, whatever his actual name is, he made me this logo. Go follow him on Twitter. So I think it's at The Based Gold. So go follow that guy. He's got good takes. I talk to him pretty regularly in the DMs. I haven't talked lately much, but we do quite a bit usually. And he made my logo. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody that creates fan art for us. It's it never stops amazing me. Every time I get a piece, I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, for sure. What we got? Clint Russell, are you related to Snake Plissken?
I believe that's a, what's the name, Metal Gear Solid reference. I don't know how it's correlated to Snake, though. So I'm sorry, you're going to have to elaborate for me to get the joke.
By the way, I don't think I'm related to David Coverdale. I mean, we probably are very distantly or something.
Who's that?
He's the, what's the band, Whitesnake?
Okay.
Is the singer. I am related. I'm a descendant of Miles Coverdale, who was one of the first people to translate the Bible into English. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is why he hates Christianity.
I'm way more tied into Christianity than a lot of you guys would want to think I am. Y'all, I'm not joking. Go to the Alpine Inn. They have good ranch. Trust me. We're going to have to check this out.
Jim, you got to you gotta relax with this ranch action, buddy.
If this is nearby, I'm going to go. I mean, at this point, I'm interested because of how adamant you're being. So
you sold me on your ranch, Jim Mongol.
Let's see.
My dogs.
My dogs. How's it going,
shout
Drew?
Out, Drew.
Drew just defended us on free speech in a video the other day. I don't think I got called out by name, but I consider myself involved in that whole fiasco. So thank you, Drew. That was a great video.
Yeah.
Good job.
Really appreciate it, man. I know you didn't do it for me, but I'm glad to see some libertarians feeling the same way he and I do about that area of dispute that I didn't even know was an area of dispute amongst libertarians. So that was great.
Yeah. To me, like, either nothing is sacred or everything is sacred when it comes to questioning or discussing or joking. Like,
right.
I mean, it's all on or off the table. You can't have it both ways. Yeah.
There are some things that are sacred, but only when it comes to actions,
right?
Not when it comes to discussion. That's fucking crazy. Go subscribe to Drew Hancock's channel on YouTube. He's the man.
He's great. He is the male Carey Wedler, is what I think you said that. And I said that too when I had him on. Like,
yeah.
It's true. His videos are very good.
But like, hotter somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really want to bring that up, but I'm more sexually attracted to him. I didn't, you know, really want to talk about that, but
it carries a smoke show, so you know Drew is really working with something.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, he's like 19. I'm gonna get myself in trouble.
Oh,
for joking with
well
dude.
no, he's over 18, so we're okay. Kurt Russell, my dog, escaped from New York.
Jesus Christ, we're just gonna make a bunch of Russell jokes now. Yes.
I don't know.
I escaped from California. Does that count?
Clint Russell escaped from California.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Wow. Definitely going to knock up this chick. Okay.
Do it, brother. Reproduce aggressively.
Wow. So, Clint, do you have any questions or anything you wanted to ask me or
No shit. Well, I think we just spent an hour at dinner, so I asked him a lot.
I know. No. I mean, we're both here, so it'd be unfair if it was just me asking you all the questions.
I know, but
so.
You know, when you get into like guest mode, you shut your
it's
brain
hard
up.
To get out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you're panicking. It's like,
I don't know if I'm panicking, but
no.
What's your favorite guest that you've ever had? Was it Dave?
You know, other than you, obviously. Let's see. Favorite guest. It was so my most surreal guest was Nick Gillespie, because he's the one I've been paying attention to. Who's like, I mean, Carrie Wedler is actually the other one. I started watching her back in 2014. Do you know the
Obama one?
Yeah. I saw that when it came out.
Yeah.
And then
I saw she was following me or something like that. I had no idea that it was the Obama burn shirt girl.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think
because that video is super popular. Like a lot of people.
It's huge. But I had seen it. Mm-hmm. I had seen it like 7 years ago.
It's like my bump fire video. People don't know it's me.
Right.
They've seen the video and then they're like, "Oh, that's you."
Exactly. Plus Carrie's PFP on Twitter doesn't really look like her.
Right.
She's got these huge glasses on. So no, I didn't realize that it was her until I had her on my show. And then I was like, I started to do more research and I was like, wait. Yeah, that was a trip. Your episode with Gillespie was great, by the way.
Oh yeah, thanks. And I pissed a lot of people off just by having him on, like the red pilled people.
Oh, because he's not. Yeah.
And I was just like, fuck you guys. Like, I mean, you know, whatever.
I thought he actually came off more red pilled than I expected. I know that kind of sounds like an underhanded compliment.
I mean, I don't think of him as a BFC. You know, he's more like an Amash guy. He's like,
right.
You know, just kind of not as radical as we are, but
yeah, he's got some areas that I think that are blind spots or that I strongly disagree with, but overall I was more impressed with him than I had expected to be, because I'm never expecting any mainstream libertarian to say anything that I really really love.
Right.
And he had a few things that I did, so
yeah. So I think those were the most surreal, Carrie and Nick, because because honestly I've only been watching Dave for about a year. So having him on,
dude, I've been watching Dave for like 6 years.
Yeah, I know. So that's
huge deal.
Huge, big difference. And same with Tom, like Tom Woods. I've known who he was for a few years, but right. I wasn't religiously watching him.
Right.
Where Nick Gillespie, I saw him on Bill Maher back in 2015 or something. And so those two people, it was very surreal having them on. But yeah, one of my episodes with Dave, when it's just me and him, because I've had him on three times, once with Jeremy Todd and David Fite, and then once on the Four Horsemen, and then once just the two of us. And it was the most fluid interview I've ever done. I mean, it was so easy, just supernatural.
Supernatural.
That's two words, supernatural, not supernatural, you know. But it was, that was probably my like smoothest, most interesting interview. What about you?
What's my best interview?
Yeah, or like, what's your most surreal one? And then what was your, what interview did you have that you're like, holy shit, I really hit it off in that. That was great.
Well, I mean, and just on my show.
Yeah.
Honestly, Robbie the Fire and I had really great chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I undersold him, because he doesn't talk very much when he's on Part of the Problem. And on my show, he felt like he had more leeway to do so. But I thought that his questions of me, he really forced me to explain my vantage point on the real estate market in a way and that I hadn't before.
Yeah.
I think that's really great when you have a guest that can actually bring something out of you. So he did that for me, and I thought that was great. I've had so many fucking great guests, like honestly. Bringing up Robbie is not to diminish anybody else I've had on, because I thought that I've just had conversations that genuinely I enjoyed almost all of them, honestly. So
yeah,
it's just amazing.
Oh, there's a question for you. So I'll give my story first. And by the way, if you see this dude, like, don't take it personally. I don't dislike you as a person, but I had this guy on.
The dude that had a seizure?
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. It was just like the most boring conversation I've ever had. We were like 10 minutes into it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to kill this conversation pretty soon. And then he had a seizure instead, so I didn't have to. And I was just like,
do you think he had the seizure to get out of it because it was going so poorly?
I don't know, man.
He's just like
again, like, I'm not even going to say his name because I don't want to degrade him at all. Like, I don't have anything against
talk him about a guy. Kicking a guy while he's down.
Yeah. Like, but that for me was my worst interview. So
fucking A, dude.
What about you?
Oh God, I've been asked this a few times. I can't think of a worst interview. And if I had one, I would honestly say it. I've never had one that I didn't find some value in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's hard for me to say that I have a worst. I'm sure I have a handful that could probably get in that category of like not the best.
Yeah.
But I can't say for sure.
I can see you in the chat, by the way, Olivia. I know you're here. And I mean,
she's saying some racist shit.
Yeah. She did bigoted stuff, you know, but I mean,
shout out to my Timcast alum. I was proud of you, girl.
All right. Let's see. We got some super chats here. I drive truck as well. Reed, have you ever heard of Brett Vianette from the School Sucks podcast? He introduced me to anarchy and the importance of getting out of the public school system. I have not heard of him. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
No.
Sorry. I'll check him out.
Sorry. I will check him out as well. Let's see. I'm usually sarcastic, but I follow Reed because I love John McCain, and I follow Clint because I love the Fed.
Well, this guy definitely knows us, so that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we could get, I mean, John McCain's gone, but like if we could erase John McCain from existence in history or the Fed, I would have to say I'd go with the Fed.
Thank you. It's worse. I was concerned because if you said John McCain, I was like, you got to strike the root. Without the Fed, John McCain isn't empowered. So yeah, I agree. I mean,
but fuck John McCain with a cactus. Like, fuck that guy.
Yeah. I would like to dig up his corpse and do bad things to it.
It's weird to see the people who defend John McCain. First of all, like some libertarians, like some blue-pilled cuck libertarians that defend him. Like, fuck you. I mean, you are the scum of the earth if you're defending John McCain. But then, you know, also...
You call yourself a libertarian, you defend John McCain. Yeah. Do something bad to yourself.
But the liberals who defend him too, like, fuck you. Like, I don't know. It's just...
I actually, the quick story. I had a buddy about when he was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out to me because he knows I'm really, like, politically inclined. And he says, you know, I'm probably not going to vote for him, but, like, God, what a hero. And I just go on this fucking 20-minute rant. And I'm like, he's a fucking war criminal. He's evil. He should go straight to hell. You know, I go off. And he looks at me like he had never heard anybody on the planet say anything negative about John McCain. And then I realized that we live in our own separate worlds. I was like, this is incredible. Like, people honestly buy the media narrative on politicians, including John McCain. It's incredible. So
he's a hero if you're in the North Star Brigade, I guess. But outside of that, yeah. I wouldn't really... Reed, the knock up super chat was the one that came at you in your Isabella episode. LOL. Also, because we're all homos here. Oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. So that was embarrassing. But I'm not reading these beforehand because I can't even read them from here. But I'm not worried about anything that comes up on this. You know, with Clint, like, fuck it, who cares? I mean, if someone says something raunchy, whatever. But I had Isabella on the show, and some guy, I don't know if it was the same guy, but threw a $20 super chat at me that said, damn, I want to knock this girl up. And I didn't read it beforehand. I just clicked on it, and I was like, oh.
And, yo, if you pay $20, you can say anything you want.
Yeah, I mean, she took it in stride. You know, she's cool or whatever. But it was pretty embarrassing on my part. I apologized, but oh well. What's your gym playlists?
Just Naturalist Capitalist.
Yeah, mine's Liberty Lockdown.
Yo. I mean, obviously, I listen to a lot of rap, so that's what I listen to at the gym or podcasts. Part of the problem sometimes.
I don't go to the gym. I go hiking. So I don't really listen to anything. Yeah. That's it.
Bring Them Out by T.I. can get you a new personal best in the bench, I'm telling you. Also, Harden the Paint, or whatever it's called, by Waka Flocka is like the banger of bangers. So check that one out if you like gangster rap like I do.
Well, I guess we'll end it right here. That was
We're done already? Damn. All right. I wanted to say, since I have this opportunity on the platform, to Pete Quiñones, because we obviously are I have been hinting at it. He has been beefing with me somehow, I think. I don't really know for sure. So I just want to give him the opportunity to talk to me, because I think that we should talk this out. I don't see any reason that we should have any conflict. I think that I wouldn't be where I'm at with if not for you. I'm deeply appreciative of you. I think that your show's great. I think you're an incredible interviewer. I think you're a great thinker. And I'm just disappointed that we're having conflict over guests I've had. And I think that it's unnecessary. So I hope that we can resolve it. Is that diplomatic enough for you?
That was pretty diplomatic.
All right, good.
You're supposed to do like some vicious subtweet and not like even, you know, mention who it is.
You're not supposed to say it directly. I know, which is why I wanted to do that, because I don't like behaving like that. And I'll be traveling the country after Freedom Fest. And if Pete would like to, have a in-person discussion, I'd be happy to do that. Or if he just wants to do it in private, I'm okay with that as well. And if I've misread this and we are not beefing, just let me know, bud. It's all good too.
There you go.
Subscribe to Naturalist Capitalist. What the fuck?
Subscribe to Liberty Lockdown. What the fuck? And on, you know, Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that stuff.
All over. Leave 5-star reviews.
No, but seriously, it's cool to actually be here in person with Clint.
He's letting me crash in his place. This guy's a fucking saint. He bought me dinner. He's letting me crash on his couch. Reed's as good a guy in person as you would imagine him from his internet persona. So, thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, and I can say the same about Clint. Super chill. It's been great hanging out with him. Looking forward to hanging out with him the next several days.
You want to tell people how bad I am at geography? That I didn't even know that Yellowstone is in Wyoming.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. I mean, he's been in California his whole life, it sounds like. Hasn't really. I mean, he's never been to Utah.
Nope.
Like, Utah's not very far from California.
No, it's not.
He's never been here before.
Actually, so. I think I did go to Salt Lake when I was a kid, but
okay.
I was like 10. So. By the way, my aunt and uncle, I think, were assassinated by a hitman in Salt Lake. Real shit.
Wow. That's, there you go.
That's a, whatever it's called, lead-in for the next episode. We'll talk about that one next time.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you at Freedom Fest if any of you are going to be there. I don't know when I'm going to be streaming next, but I am going to be on Bridget Fetisi's show on Tuesday. I don't know if that's live or when it airs or how that works, but
so badass.
I'll be there. And anything you got coming up, Clint? There.
No, I left my calendar completely clean because I will be traveling so much. So if anyone wants to have me on their show, I can try and do it via phone while I'm on the road. And we know how well that works out with this guy. We'll see what my availability is, but I will be traveling back and forth to San Diego and trying to get a few episodes out in the interim, but I'll be intermittent for the next 3 months. So I will try and also get some interviews at Freedom Fest. So stay tuned.
By the way, Clint has a little like 2x2 cardboard cutout green screen in his car that just like goes right up, you know, in the corner of the screen.
I gotta keep the Liberty Lockdown logo. I can't afford this giant green screen.
I know. Look, he's got the whole Liberty Lockdown like wall to wall.
I know. You know, like, it's crazy. It honestly, it does look better, but whatever.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate all the super chats. Go subscribe to this guy. He's great. We will catch you on the next episode.